Welcome to Beacon of Light, a show that examines and explores the unexplained and the curious. Join Marcus Leder and Jennifer Fallah on a journey of discovery as they shed some light on a variety of spiritual, paranormal, and psychological topics. Hello and welcome to this week's Beacon of Light. In last week's show, we started, I guess you'd call it a new series, where Jennifer and I have started to explore the characteristics and the actual, nature, I guess you'd call it, of the different dimensional planes of heaven, starting with last week we talked about level one. In this week's show, we're going to recap a little bit about what we discovered on level one for those of you who didn't catch that show, and move on to what we found out about level two. And before I get into what I discovered, let me bring my co-host Jennifer Fallah into the show. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, Marcus. So glad to be here again with you tonight. This is a really exciting topic.
Yeah, it is. It's something I wasn't exactly sure how this was going to go when we started talking about it a while back, because it's so enormous and there's so little known about it. And I think what we're doing is getting the groundwork, getting the basics of each level. There's going to be more fill in as time goes on, as we discover more things. But this kind of maps out. We're basically mapping the levels of heaven, which is an unbelievably huge task. But
Interesting tidbit on that. From my meditation this week, I was referring to them as levels, and Archangel Gabriel actually told me that he said they're not levels; they're dimensions, and they have names, not numbers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so he showed me this name, and it was three or four letters. It was just like this flash of this name. And I kind of saw like a T and an H and an X, and of course it was some weird name that I could not comprehend. And so I just let it go because I was like, okay, this is something that I'm not going to understand. And but basically he said, okay, from the physical plane, and let's think of it as up and down. Okay, it's just easier for us to comprehend that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Higher vibrational frequency levels, dimensions. From this plane up is what we are studying, the afterlife. So he said those are all different dimensions. And I said, okay, so and the conglomerate of those dimensions is what we as humans call heaven. They're the higher planes. So, but for just to make everything very simple for us, we're going to refer to them as level one, level two, and that would be going up from where we are right now. So it just as for the listeners, as when we refer to level one, level two, level three, that's what we're doing. Go ahead, Marcus.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I hadn't even thought about that they may have their own names for that. I know, from different meditations I've done, they often refer to a certain place. I don't know which level yet, but they call it the Summerland, and I don't know what level that would correspond to, but I'd never even thought that they might have their own actual names for each level.
And they don't even call heaven. That's our human word for it.
Yeah.
And he didn't tell me what they call it, because at that point I was like, never mind. I'm not going to understand you, because I'll just keep saying, say that again. Spell it,
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the problem with a lot. You know, we can't assume that English is going to be the language that they're using if they're assigning words and names. Usually, in biblical terms, it's either Hebrew or, if you go back even farther, you know, Sanskrit, I think, and that or Greek. Most of the original texts in the Bible were written in Hebrew and Greek, but there's also an angelic alphabet and language that they, you know, that's indigenous just to the angels, and that's also referred to as Enochian, and the Enochian alphabet. So it's hard to say. I'd never even thought of that. I'm gonna have to check into that more next time I go.
Yeah, I don't really know. I know that I've gotten some terms, names for things and different meditations and different subjects that sounded really Greek.
Uh-huh.
And then some terms and names for things that I can't even pronounce. You know, it doesn't even register with me. It's like I can't even, you know, so I don't even know what kind of dialect they're using. It's completely different from ours, but it doesn't really matter, because all we need to do is understand, and so yeah. We mm-hmm. can call it whatever we want. But so for just to make everything simple, we'll call it heaven and the different levels of heaven.
Yep, that works for me.
Okay.
So anyway, in this this meditation, I went in, you know, using the HemiSync technologies to alter my brain waves to get me to that point. And I generally meet up with Michael, which is what I did at this time. And I had some questions about our previous meditation, about level one, some of them that Jennifer had brought up. The level one in what we pretty much, the way we understand it, they're all transition levels, but level one is a point going from, you know, physical life to, you know, heavenly life. And we're going from a physical body to an energetic body. And that usually, because of the linear thinking of humans and the way we think and live here, that's a pretty big step. And for a lot of people, especially those people who don't believe in any of this, they're suddenly surprised. But it can be a shock, and the actual energetic body can go into shock, and much the same way the physical body does. And when you transition, when you leave the physical world and go into this first level, it's an area where you have to you have to be oriented. There's sometimes in some people is a state of confusion, and you know, Jennifer, you know, compared it to purgatory, which, you know, fits a lot of the descriptions of, you know, what we actually see happening there when we went there in meditation. So it's kind of a place where you you come to grips, to terms with what, you know, has taken place, and, you know, you start to realize that there's more than just your physical body. And it's different for different people. You know, there's a lot of variables. Depends on how you left the world and, you know, what you believed when you were here. But when I went there, I went directly, and part of this is one of the problems that that we have to be careful about, because I had done some experimentation with the Monroe Institute in going to this first level, and the place at the institute would the different explorers that would do this through HemiSync, they would go to the different levels, you know, of dimensional levels. They never really explored these levels. They just went to them, and they assigned numbers to them, but they were levels of consciousness. The Institute went to an area that was, you know, there was a great deal of clarity. It was more like a meeting place where people met with their guides or with their lost loved ones, and they would, you know, transition on. And that was about all that was ever, you know, brought up from the Institute. So when I went there, of course, I already had this knowledge in my head, and you got to be careful what your preconceived ideas or past experiences when you're doing this. And this is one example. I went to the same park, you know, which I had been to before, and it's like a you know, beautiful garden, a park, and you meet people, and they take off. But the problem is that's only one small part of level one. That's like the portal that leads you into level two. There's a whole lot more, and because Jennifer, this is one of the reasons we do this separately, Jennifer discovered, you know, when she went there was a mist, and I had seen a mist, but I really didn't think anything of it. And so in this meditation, I went in and I asked about that mist, and there are it's very rare that somebody goes straight from the physical world to that park that I'm talking about. Usually they go into the mist. Some people stay in the mist a long time because they have different, as many variables, there's different fears, there's different you know, conditions, energetic conditions, there's belief systems that hold you in that mist. And it's like you're not being judged by anyone other than yourself. And until you come to terms, even angels can't really go in and help you. They can kind of point you in the right direction and be there, but you have to make that choice yourself. It's part of the free will thing. And when you make that choice, then you come out of the mist and into a better lighted area. And the way I perceived it was like a park or a greeting area. And that was, you know, the main thing I wanted to find out about level one is what that mist was. And it's just an area. It's not really a mist like a fog, but it looks like it is perceived that way because it's an area of unclarity. It's confusion. It's, you know, turmoil. And it's more of an energetic type mist. So that, you know, with that being answered, I asked him, you know, about the garden or park area, and he said this is the place where people will, you know, or souls will come once they've realized what's taken place and they're ready to move on, and their guides or angels or relatives, lost loved ones, will appear to them, and they will, like, escort, you know, through that park. That park is a portal or an opening, and not everybody may perceive it as a park, by the way. Some people may see it, you know, as just a ball of light or light at the end of a tunnel. There's a lot of, you know, different perception issues there. But once you get there and you have a guide or a relative or somebody to accompany you, then they take you and they kind of, you know, like, it's not like holding hands, but it's like, you know, energies are coupled and they take you through into the second level of heaven. And, you know, I asked, when I went there, I didn't really see a lot of the mist that I saw in the first level. But it still wasn't what most people, you know, envision as heaven, as golden light and, you know, shining brightness everywhere. It wasn't really like that in the second level. And I saw structures that looked like, they weren't like office building structures, but they were definite, almost like stone structures and buildings of a sort. And Michael said that on this level, it's a healing and orientation. It's another step in the healing and orientation of souls that have crossed over from the physical, you know, getting them ready to move further up the ladder. And those that are in a state of confusion, they go to these various places, and they receive treatment that is, it can be anything from deep psychological, and energetic work. They're counseled, in other words, to heal whatever it is that the individual might need. You know, when it comes to leaving someone behind on Earth, a lot of people have issues with that. And so this is a level where a lot of that is dealt with. And, you know, it's an area of orientation and transition through understanding. And, yeah, to get the soul ready to move on. And, some souls, he said, that have been prepared through either faith or practice and study, you know, like the different things that we're doing now. The people that are interested in this are reading about it and learning about it. He said that people like this, while they're still in their physical bodies, they enter this realm, and their healing and orientation is generally much shorter. There's not as much of a shock, I guess, is what he was trying to say. The length of time that any given soul stays on this second level, you know, he went on to explain, depends entirely on the individual soul, each different person, and the actual healing process that they may need. It can be a matter of hours in some cases, up to weeks, because there is no deadlines and no pressure on you. They're not going to force you to do anything. They're there to actually help you along. And sometimes that's just a matter of talking, you know, walking and talking and counseling and, you know, educating you as to what has actually happened. And another interesting thing that he told me was, some of the areas, some of the areas and buildings that he showed me there. He didn't really show me any, there were no machines or anything like that. It was more energetic balls of light that they were using on different individual souls. And their energetic healing. Some people actually have rips or not really scars, but dark spots. Luminosity in the soul is darker. And in this place, they have methods of actually healing that and, you know, helping you to recover. It's like when a soldier goes to battle, they come back and they have injuries and they have to be, you know, fixed up and healed and let them recuperate, sometimes psychologically as well as physically. But the interesting thing that he told me, you know, as we, you know, came to the end of that tour of the second level of heaven, was he said part of the orientation in the healing process that takes place on the second level is in helping the individual souls remember who they are. Because when we're sent to Earth, when we reincarnate from heaven, the memory is intentionally blocked. It's not wiped out, but it's blocked so that we can function and learn in the classroom that is basically the Earth, you know, the physical plane. And if they didn't do that, then you had all the knowledge of heaven, you would just want to try to get back there. You wouldn't want to, you know, take the time to learn. And so it's somehow, I don't know the process, but it's blocked from the soul memory. And in this second level, they start restoring that. They start, you know, healing it. And the goal is for a total restoration of memory of who they really are, you know, as souls. And this was a shorter meditation. I was telling Jennifer earlier that we probably should have, or I should have probably went into level 3 too, because it wasn't really a lot of detail beyond what I've already, you know, told you.
There's a lot of similarities.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about yours yet.
I know, and it's really interesting. I think what's going on here is Gabriel told me, because I went with Gabriel, and he told me that, you know, like I said earlier, that each of these levels that we call levels are different. dimensions. And each one, as you go up, is a higher vibrational frequency level. You are seeing different topography than I am when I'm visiting level one and level two, which is really interesting. It does not mean that it's wrong, because I asked, I said, well, I went to a mist, and Marcus ended up in like a park-like setting. He said, each dimension of Earth's heaven, he's using the terms I can understand, of Earth's heaven, meaning each physical planet or plane has their own heaven, okay? Uh-huh. Each dimension of Earth's heaven is a mirror. The topography is a mirror of Earth. So you're going to have tree, you're going to have city, you're going to have ocean, you have the same topography of Earth.
Uh-huh.
He said that it just depends on where you show up. So to think that, okay, level one is just a field, or level two is just a park, or level, is ridiculous, okay, because the size of it is immense, okay? It's an entire dimension. So when I showed up in the field with the mist, and you showed up in the park, the mist is still there.
Yeah.
In the park. I think it probably higher concentrations of the negativity. I think I went right into the bad part.
Of course.
Split right to the swamp or something. I don't know what happened there. But he was saying that in level one, it is a mirror image of Earth, but it lacks Earth's luster. It's void of joy. And in level one, it's all about decisions. It's all about making the decision on which way you want to go. So it's kind of like a subway station. You want to go this way or do you want to go that way? And then there's a lot of confusion there because it's, as he said before, it was common ground. It's so close to our Earth, by the way. This physical dimension that we're living in right now is common ground. So that one is also common ground. And so the souls that go there who are confused and don't know what to do and don't know where to go, or have had, you get people there who have had mental problems or addictions, or not always. I'm not saying everybody's had mental problems or addictions or has suffered a trauma is going to go there. Okay, I'm saying that's the majority of people that are there are confused in some way. You know, they don't know anything about what happens after they die, or they don't believe in it, or they don't know what to do. So in level one, the angels do go there. Both sides go there and try to influence. So, and basically, Gabriel said that level one is a lonely, confusing place, because even though there are many souls wandering around, the souls there feel alone. And they're trying to make a decision, and they've got angels coming to them. They've got the dark side coming to them, trying to say, like, oh, come with me. Everything's going to be okay. We have cookies. And they don't know who's who and what's what and who to believe. So it's a very confusing time. It is a transitionary place. So the information that you got is very similar to what I got. And but it's just, it's important to know that you could end up in the city, you could end up in the,
that's right,
you know, in these places.
And that's a very good point. That makes a lot of sense, because if we went, if we were coming from outer space and we came and landed in the Mojave Desert during the Sahara Desert and looked around, we can't assume the entire planet looks like that. Void of water and all that. And so it's your perception, your immediate perception of the area you happen to go to. And I think that, I went directly to that park area because of my, my previous knowledge. you know, from the Institute of different explorers that have explained that. So I was kind of, and it's next to impossible to forget that. So that's, you know, it, I was naturally drawn there. The good news is that they didn't really do much more. They didn't explore the other levels beyond the entry level.
Well, so, I just had an interesting thought.
What's that?
If these different dimensions are a mirror image of, you know, a duplication of Earth as it stands now, but it lacks its less, you know, in each one, it's, you've got more joy, you've got more beauty, you've got, you know, they're different, but basically same topography.
Yeah.
What if you went to the exact spot where you were standing when you did your meditation in level one? And what if I went to the exact spot where I was sitting and when I did my meditation and I went to level one? I mean, you're what, like 5-10 miles away from me?
I'm probably about at least 10, yeah.
And so maybe you're
and that
you're
could be
over
you
there
know.
In the park, and I'm over here in the swamp or the field.
Yeah, it could be because you know where you are. It's more you're kind of in between city and wooded area, and I'm right on the water.
Interesting. I think you know that could be just totally false. But
that's an interesting idea, though.
I mean, it's interesting if you don't have a specific destination in mind. You just want to go to level one, and you just. You know, I don't know because Gabriel took me there.
Yeah.
So he might have, you know, and he took me to level two, too. But it's interesting the way we traveled to the different levels because in level one, he had me by the hands and he did, when we were traveling there, did not want me to lose eye contact, did not want me to look from side to side. And that was interesting. And the whole time we were there, he's like, do not let go of my hand. And he had to keep reminding me because of this mist that was starting to make me feel confused that I was not really dead and not really there. I was just visiting. And level two, he just like hugged me for a minute, said, turn around, and we were there.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, he's very protective over you anyway, but it does seem to be
glad.
A good.
Well, you know, it's funny because if he's doing all of that, there's a good reason. Whatever they do, there's a good reason. So I just do not, you know, I listen to him. Okay, whatever you say, you know, I will not look.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and I'm just the opposite. They tell me not to. That's probably why they don't tell me anything. But if they tell me not to, it's my curiosity. Just, you know, I try to obey and listen because, you know they know more than we do. But it's hard.
I don't understand that. I totally don't understand that about you. I mean, you've got like archangels there telling you, okay, listen.
Well, I obey, you know, usually.
Don't let go of my hand. And you're going to be like, oh, I want to let go of your hand. Oh, stupid.
It's the scientific curiosity and explorer nature. I have to fight that. I usually will comply with whatever I'm told to do because I know there's a reason for it. But the question, the curiosity is still there. Why doesn't he want me to do this? And it doesn't mean I go do it. But
I think about it later.
Yeah.
I think about it later. I'm like, I know I've done this long enough to know that if they tell you, if they looks me in the eye and says, don't look away, I'm like, okay, you're the boss and I'm not looking away because I know there's a darn good reason for that. And I don't want to get stuck anywhere or have any problems.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
That makes sense.
But yeah, it's interesting. I know we didn't share any information before the show. And, this is going to be very interesting for you.
Yeah.
I
can't wait.
Because it was very, very similar. I did get a lot more information, but you, it was exciting. You actually got to see some of the devices that they were using.
Yeah, and like I said, it wasn't really machine-type devices. It's like they were manipulating balls of light and energy with I couldn't tell if they're using their hands or their minds to manipulate it. Hmm. So it was different.
I didn't get a whole lot of the how, but I got a lot. I got a lot of why, and what is going on.
Yeah.
And I will share that with everyone when we come back from break, right after this.
Are you tired of all of the negativity in children's fiction? Does your child suffer from night terrors or frequent bad dreams? Do you wish there was a series for your child to read that is fun and inspirational? The Wishflower Field, Marie's Triumph, is a fanciful book that not only entertains, but builds inner strength. Join the many that have seen the difference this positive book has made in the way their children handle fear. The Wishflower Field is truly a series that appeals to all ages and empowers within. Visit thewishflowerfield.com for your copy today. That's thewishflowerfield.com.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. Oh,
Visit our website, beaconoflightradio.org, to hear shows that you missed on the archive page. Find links to our Facebook page and to schedule a reading. We are now offering meditation reading services to the public, just like we perform on the show. If you are in need of guidance from angels or spirit, or have a negative entity lurking around, schedule a service with Jennifer at www.beaconoflightradio.org.
Hello, and welcome back to Beacon of Light. Tonight is our second installment of our exploration of the different levels of heaven through interdimensional meditation. Our last show, we went and explored, Marcus Leder and I, explored level one, and that was very, very interesting. And tonight we are sharing our meditation exploration with you on level two. Marcus gave his take and his experience first half of the show, and we are back to hear mine. It's very interesting how similar they are. I started out with Archangel Gabriel. I feel most comfortable with him. And first I wanted to go, and just like Marcus did, I wanted to ask a little more questions about level one. And what we're doing here is we're going to level one, we're going to level two. This first is going to be a clean sweep just through all the levels for us. Just to get a basic understanding of what goes on in each level, I believe. And then we'll go back later on and get a little bit more detail, a little more understanding. But I did have a couple questions on level one. And I met Gabriel on level six. That's usually where I go. I've been told that I go. And I met him in a place that I call the Arena of Clarity. Why do I call it that? Because it's cool. And it's fun. That's my
sounds cool, too. Yeah.
So it's just a round-shaped platform, stone platform with circular benches all the way around it, where you can sit. And it has a long path. And as you walk down this path towards the Arena of Clarity, you can see clearer, you can hear better, you have a clear understanding of what's going on there, and you meet with the angels or spirits or anybody, basically anybody, in there and ask questions. So I went there with him, and I asked a little bit more about level one. And he told me, like I told you before, that they are not levels that are numbered. They're dimensions that have names. And he showed me this example of a name, and I could not comprehend it. I just saw three or four letters. Like, I saw a T and an H and an X. And I didn't really see any vowels. So I couldn't – I was confused. And I said, okay, let's move on because I'm not going to get this. And I asked if what I saw in level one was all there was to level one. And then, you know, just to recap on what I told Marcus before break, is that he said that the levels are actually dimensions. They are a mirror image of our Earth, the topography of Earth. But when level one, it's the void of joy. It's a lot of confusion. People that are there are wandering around feeling alone, even though they're in the middle of crowd. Okay, you could have cities, you could have fields, just, you know, rural areas, everything that we have here, there. And it was all the same energy and feeling in this. There could be different concentrations of it, but basically in level one, they're there to make a decision on which way they want to go. He said there's this fog. There's this fog that's everywhere. There's this different concentrations of the fog. I went like way deep into the fog where you could hardly see anything. And he said this fog is a mixture of positive and negative energy and emotion. And that, the difference between the two, is what causes the confusion. Usually when you encounter somebody, if they're negative, you feel, okay, negative, I'm starting to fear, you're totally bringing me down. You encounter somebody who's positive, and you're like, oh, I like this person. You know, you're an awesome person. Well, yeah. When you get angels and the bad guys and all these people and all this confusion, it's like mixing, and it creates this fog, and that's where the confusion comes. And the more you're in this place, the more confused you become, and that's why you need angels to come and help you get out of there. And it's basically a transitional place. It is also what they call common ground. So you can have both negative and positive influences go there. Our earth, our plane is here, this physical plane, this dimension is common ground. I said, okay, let's go to level two. So interesting the way we traveled to level two. It's completely different than the way I traveled to level one. He just opened his arms like to give me a hug. And I'm like, okay, hug time. You know? You don't even know, because the archangels are just so beautiful. You know? So he gives me this hug. He put one arm around me. Then he put his, and I'm facing, he put his chin to my forehead, and he put one hand on the side of my face. And I'm thinking, I mean, you don't even understand. When an angel hugs you like that, you know, and I'm in deep in meditation, so, you know, you really feel like you're there, okay? You're sensing things and everything. And I'm thinking, I really hope that this is a long journey. Because I was like, okay, I like this way of travel. So then he says, turn around. And we were there. It was like, you know, 3 to 5 seconds, and we're there. And so I turn around, and I saw a rural setting, a forest. Not a dense forest, just tree here, tree there. Probably looked like pine trees, big, tall trunks. There was no grass or anything on the ground. It was dirt, like hard dirt. And I saw people. And they were just going from place to place, like they were off going somewhere, you know, on their way somewhere. And they were wearing loose, light-colored clothing. And they were accompanied by angels and other people or spirits. Their bodies looked completely solid. So they didn't look like mists traveling around or like ghosts, you know. It was just people. And there was a really peaceful feeling there, and no fog at all. It appeared like it looked like a bright, sunny day, or at least it was bright. You know, I don't know about the whole, you know, sun. But people were walking around from place to place, and the angels were with them. It was like a relaxed place, and they were in conversation. Everybody was talking to each other in these little groups, you know. It was just like one person, an angel, and another spirit, and then another person, an angel, and another spirit. And he said that level two is a place of healing, counsel, and adjusting to being back in heaven. It's a place to remember and let go of trauma from the physical incarnation. He said each soul is accompanied by an angel or a guide, and is never left alone for a moment. And he made a big point about that, is that they are not left alone for a moment. So what I got from that is that they're still in a fragile state. So time spent in level two is like recuperating from major surgery or emotional trauma or addiction. They are gently counseled and healed and reminded that they are safe and free from the restraints and burdens of the previous life. The inhabitants of level two come from level one, and some come straight from the physical life after death. Those who go straight there are taken there by a guide or angel to recover from extreme trauma, mental illness, addictions, emotional abuse, or a suicide that resulted from mental illness, addictions, or depression. This is a place of healing until such time as the soul is ready to move on to level 3 and reunite with loved ones and review their most recent incarnation. He said that no review of your life is done on level 2. It's not a time to revisit the pains or what was done or what was not done. It's a time of release and remembering. He said level 2 is not a place of common ground. That once the soul gets there, they have already made the decision to move on to the light and to reject the dark. And the dark is shut out. Something about the energetic or vibrational level of level 2, they are locked out. They cannot enter. So if you have a loved one, let's say maybe you've contacted a medium or something, and they told you that they're getting the help that they need now, and they're healing, that is probably where they are. And, you know, they are in very good hands. It was a very, very peaceful feeling there. So I wouldn't worry, you know, about any loved one that you have if you believe that this is where they are, because they are on their way to a better place. And it's a beautiful place. It was not scary. It was not drab or dreary in any way. And I asked if we could leave because I wanted to move to level 3. And he said, no, I want you to take a moment and access how the energy feels here. And I thought that was interesting because he hadn't asked me to do that before. And he said, I said, well, you know, and I just kind of stood there and I just kind of took it in. I said, the air feels lighter. It's crisper. So there's a hint of hope in the air, and I felt very relaxed. I do not feel any danger or confusion. It was like being in a sanctuary or a place where people go to recoup after a major trauma or addiction or surgery. It was very peaceful. But then I did feel this urgent feeling to leave and go to level 3, and I asked why. And he said, because you have never been here to level 2. He says, you usually remember and adjust very quickly after a life and rush to level 3 to meet up with your loved ones and animals. I'm like, oh, I do? I think, well, let's go there now. You know,
I was like, persistent, huh?
Now I'm excited to go to level 3. And he said, level 3 is where most go in near-death experiences and see loved ones, and you get the typical group of – you hear about the typical group of people and the reunions and, you know, the life review. And so what we got here is level 1 gave me this from what we've learned so far to review. Level 1 is about decisions. It's not everybody goes there. You do not have to go through level 1. People who maybe have been here a million times or know exactly where they're going and can't wait to get there, they're going to go straight to level 3, 4, 5, whatever. You know?
Right to the penthouse, yeah.
Yeah. But level 2 is about healing, about remembering, and about adjusting and letting go of the restraints and pains and all of that stuff that gave you all those problems in your life, okay? Because you need to let go of all that negativity, all of that stuff before you can move on to level 3. And it's not a rule. It's for your own well-being. It's basically, are you ready or not? Are you ready to handle going and meeting with your loved ones? Are you ready to handle going and reviewing your life and deciding whether or not you achieved your goals and what you wanted to do there? level 3 is a reunion and a place of review. So, you know, this is the heaven that most people talk about. But level three is also a transitional place. There could be a lot of people that reside on level three to help those with review and reunion. But from what he told me, you know, this is a place where you go. People may stay there for quite a while. But that's where you're going to have your big reunions. You're going to see your animals and your loved ones, and you're going to have, you know, that's the heaven everybody has heard about in the books and everything. And what he said about level two made a lot of sense to me, especially about people who died from suicide or addictions, because I never liked the idea that somebody that was so depressed or had mental problems or had been so abused or was so darn sick that they just took their own life went to hell. That makes me so mad. Yeah. That's, as a little kid, that made me so mad. And I'm thinking, how could, you know, a supreme being be less understanding than I, just a mere human, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what level two is about, is that you're going to go there. It's like, okay, something went really, really wrong here. Something went really, really wrong. And we're going to recuperate. We're going to, you know, we're going to make you better so you can move on. And so that was really hopeful, because I know several people who have loved ones who took their life, and that fear is in the back of their mind. You know, are they earthbound? Yeah. Or did they go to hell?
The number one fear that you hear about, you know, with the survivors, you know, what actually happened to them. And that never made sense to me either. I think people that believe that, you know, that they go to hell because they took their life, that's part of the fear conditioning that a lot of churches will use. And it's like they believe God is a vindictive, you know, dictator and all powerful and stuff. And he may be all powerful, but there's no point. There's no advantage to punishing somebody. We're all here to learn and to get back, you know, to him. That's the ultimate goal. And
well, yeah,
but if you take that mentality,
what's that a call? You're gonna throw him in a fiery pit? I mean,
yeah,
that'll teach
him.
I mean,
yeah,
you know, and you know, it made sense, because doing mediumship readings, there were times when I've been asked to connect with people who died of their addictions or suicide or had, you know, mental problems or terrible problems, you know, they died from. And people were really worried about where they were and how they were doing and everything. And I've connected with at least three that have come forward. They were accompanied by either Michael went and got them, or they were accompanied by another spirit or angel. And that always was kind of confusing to me. I was like, okay. And then they would come and tell me, I'm getting the help that I need now, and I'm feeling much better. And that was their story, was that they're getting the help that they need. I'm happy now. You know, I feel loved, and I'm going to be moving forward. So that made a lot of sense. And it was wonderful to know that even if someone is very confused or very hurt or very sick, you know, God is very merciful. And everybody gets the help and the healing that they need to move forward. They are not kicked out because they screwed up or they had a problem, you know?
Yeah. And logically, that really makes a lot of sense, how someone who was messed up psychologically, or, you know, enough to take their own life, or, you know, drawn down by the psychotropic effects of drugs, why they would not go into the first level, because they really at that point don't have the ability to reason themselves out of it. And so they're taken immediately into healing to the second level. That would make a lot of sense, you know, explain why that would be that way. Because in the first level, that's where you have to kind of come to grips with yourself and you know, understand what's going on. But somebody like that may be too far to one side to you know, to actually do it themselves. And so that would make a lot of sense. And that would also make sense too, what you were saying, how it's not common ground. I didn't get that, but that makes complete sense, because during the healing process, of course, you don't want anybody or any thoughts or any negativity interfering.
No, and that's why they don't do the life review.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's until they're in a better emotional state, they don't want to go back through it. It's like, let's say somebody just lost somebody and they're in the mourning, they're in the healing process. They don't want to go back through pit photo albums. They don't want to go back and keep going back through all the days that they spent together and all that. You want to do that like a few years later, okay? You want some time to pass so that you're in a good spot where you can emotionally handle looking at those things. So that's, you know, why they do that. And even somebody who had died from a tragic accident, let's say, you know, I am so careful because I'm the only parent now, having my husband passed away. I'm careful not to do dangerous things so that I don't die, so I don't leave my children. So, I mean, the thought, let's say somebody like me had gotten in a terrible car accident, all of a sudden I'm on the other side. I'm like, no! And I would flip out. I would be in so much turmoil trying to get back. They'd have to like strap me down or something. You know, it would take a while. So like that would probably end up going to a place like that for a while just to adjust and cope, you know. So next week we are going to be exploring level 3. And I'm excited to explore 3. Because we're finally getting, we've gone, you know, trudged through the other places, and we're finally going to get up to the place where that we normally hear about from all these near-death experiences. And I'd actually like to spend a couple of meditations on level 3, or we may just, you know, touch on each one and then go back.
I think we're getting to that point. The first couple levels were, you know, were kind of basic, but I think it's going to get much more involved in the not only the topography of the different levels, but the actual purpose and the inhabitants. I mean, people live there, and what they do and things like that. So, you know, we could probably end up doing a couple shows just on level 3.
Oh yeah, but, yeah, easily.
And that kind of makes sense what you were saying too about the level 2, you know, if you go to a psychic and they tell you they're getting the help they need, you can't actually communicate with anybody there. And so that, I hear that all the time, and that really feels like gapping for me, you know, why it's like that. And, you know, and also speaking, you know, of mediums and psychics, you know, you might want to let people know that you, you know, Jennifer, you know, does different readings like this. Goes to this level, you know, for people individually, and they can contact you through Facebook or through our webpage, beaconoflightradio.org.
Yeah, you can go to beaconoflightradio.org and schedule a session with me. Either do various things over there. I can go and talk to the angels for you. That's the easiest for me to do. Mediumship is very easy for me to do, just because of meditating. So it's basically projecting or calling someone to you. You can also go to psychicangelconnection.com. It's a friend of mine's site, and I'm there too. You can like us on Facebook. We have a page on Facebook called Beacon of Light, and we'll keep you updated on what's going on with our research and on our shows. And I thank everybody for joining us this week, and I wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. A Merry Christmas to you, Marcus, and to you,
and
Amanda,
to you too,
our
Jennifer
producer.
And,
and we will join you all back here next Monday. Good night.
Good night. Thank you for joining us this week, and remember to tune in to Beacon of Light as we explore new topics every Monday at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the Jackalope Radio Network.